Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to continue what we started last week. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2. That's going to be one of the texts that we use today. The other one will be what we used last week, some more verses from Romans chapter 13. Now, we're all here today and the election is over. Now, you may be happy with that, or you may not be happy with that. But no matter what those results are, I wanted to share this two-part series on the Christian and government, because it's important that we understand not only the role of government according to God, but also what our response to government should be according to God. We need to address this question: what should our response be to the government now that the election is over? And in particular, what should our response be to governmental authority? Now, this was a very important question to the early first century Christians because the government they lived under was not Christian. In fact, as I stated last week, the Roman government was quickly becoming anti-Christian, was beginning to persecute Christians because they were worshiping a god different from the Roman gods and the Roman emperor. Now, the reason I shared that with you is to help you see that the early church really struggled with the question, how should we conduct ourselves toward our earthly government? This question has not become easier in the 21st century. Now, we may not like the leaders who have been elected. We may not like the issues and/or the laws that have been passed, either by our representatives or through the ballot box. So we must remember that God, through His Word, has not only told us that He ordained or set apart government for His purposes, and He has given us the reasons for government's existence, but He has also told us what our response to government authority should be. Now, we're going to look at two main texts today. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read that in a moment. The second one is a little bit in Romans chapter 13. I want to start by sharing what Peter says. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 13 to verse 17. That's how we'll start. Peter writes this: submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you silence the ignorance of foolish people. Act as free people, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We're going to talk about that and much more right after we ask for God's help, as we always do, as we open up His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this privilege you give us to be here today, to get to this point in our service where we can open your truth and freely proclaim its message. Lord, I need your help to present this, as I always do, in a way that will be pleasing to you. My prayer is it will be helpful, challenging, and encouraging to those who are here today as we talk about what our role in following government should be and government authority. We thank you, Father, that while we know that there's certainly weaknesses in governments everywhere, and especially here in America, we know that, but we want to follow your ideal, and so I pray you will help us understand what that ideal is. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you've done for us. I ask your blessing upon our time as we open your word. Give us your wisdom, understanding, and help us to apply what we learn to our lives. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me start off by briefly answering the question: what should our response be to governmental authority? It could be summarized in two words: biblical submission. I want you to look at what Paul said, Romans 13. We read verse 1. I'm going to read it as well as verse 2 today. Paul said, every person is to be subject to, that means to submit to, the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So the word submit here is the key to this whole section of Scripture, both in 1 Peter 2 and in Romans 13, where Paul writes, be in subjection to your governing authorities. Now this word is closely connected to the word humility. Because in order for us to submit to any authority in our life, that requires humility. And we know today we live in times of pride and rebellion. Dr. James Dobson, the noted Christian psychologist, has studied this subject extensively over the years. And he has concluded that there are twice as many strong-willed children as there are compliant children. And many of you parents are shaking your head. Yep, that's true. He also says that this rebellion against parental rule often starts very early in life. But rebellion is not only a characteristic of the child. Most people, regardless of age, find it hard to submit to others. And yet God, through his word, has told us that we are submit. Not only to our Lord, we know we're to submit to the Lord. We are to submit to church leaders. We are to submit to government leaders. We are to submit to employers. We are to submit in marriage. And we are even to submit to one another. Therefore, the emphasis in this sermon deals with this principle of submission. Now, in particular, to government and its authorities, but these principles apply to every area where we have authority figures over us. Okay? So let's open our minds and our hearts as to God's way of thinking. What does it mean to be in submission? It's very simple. To place ourselves under the authority of. That's what the word means. Here are four biblical principles of submission found in God's word, and they apply in every area where we are to submit. Number one, submission is a choice I make. It comes from me to those that I am to submit to. It cannot come from the one who is in authority down to me. It comes from me upward to the one I'm choosing to place myself under the authority of. And that's important for us to understand. In fact, most of the time, if someone who is your authority figure tries to force you into submission, what's going to happen? You're usually going to rebel. That's what most people do. If a husband tries to force his wife into submission, there's going to be some problems in that marriage. Even God will not force submission, realizing it must be a choice that comes from the heart. So this being true, the wife chooses if there will be oneness between the couple by submitting to her husband. The husband chooses if this will be a God-fearing home, by whether he will submit to God and love his wife as Jesus loved the church. Children help to determine if there will be harmony in the home by submitting to their parents. At work, you determine whether there will be friendly cooperation between you and your boss by your willingness to submit. And so, the effectiveness of the rule of law in government is largely determined by our willingness to submit to its standards. So here's the important thing to remember. Biblical submission is a conscious choice that I make to put myself under the authority of those whom God has established as authorities in my life. Okay, that's principle number one. Second biblical principle is this. I should choose to submit to those in authority because God tells me to. I mean, after all, we've learned on many occasions, God is the highest authority there is. Amen? So let's look again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Here's what Peter says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Now, first, I want you to notice something here. Both Peter and Paul agree as to one of the purposes of government, as we read here in verse 14. For the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. That's what Paul said in Romans 13. He just switched it. But he said the same thing. So God is not telling you wives, listen up here, to submit to your husbands because he is the perfect husband and the best man in the whole wide world. Even though I hope he is. Right, Deb? Oh, I know. Let me continue. You are to submit because God is the one who has established the structure in the home. God is not telling you, church, to submit to your elders because you have the best elders in the whole wide world, although I'd say we have pretty good elders here. But because he is the one who established the structure of authority in the church. And God is certainly not telling us to submit to authorities in government because of their flawless character, but because he is the one who has established the structure of authority in government. We submit to governmental authority because God tells us to do so. Peter gives us another reason, 1 Peter 2, verse 15, he said, "For such is the will of God that by doing right you silence the ignorance of foolish people." Whenever we do what is right in life, we silence our critics who seem to always look for ways to criticize our faith. God already knows that there are horrible leaders that are sometimes placed over us. In fact, some of you teenagers may think right now, and I remember when I was growing up, I thought this way for a while. You may think at least at times that God has placed some horrible leaders in front of you called parents or teachers. You may think that sometimes. Some employees think that they have horrible leaders over them called bosses. And many think that our national, state, or local government officials are horrible leaders, and sometimes that's right. However, we are still to submit because God tells us to. And since God tells me to submit, then this third principle must also be followed. To be submissive means to be obedient. Obedience is commanded by God. Obedience to government is obedience to God. We're not to be obedient because we're conservative or patriotic or good citizens or because we have a good government. In fact, in the Old Testament, Daniel was submissive to a hostile and wicked government when he was thrown into the lion's den. We'll get back to him in a moment. So since obedience to government is also obedience to God, our obedience, according to Paul, is for conscience' sake. So we obey the authority of government because a higher authority, God, commands it. Now, let me stop here for a moment because I can imagine what some of you might be thinking, and it's probably right. Just how far does this go, Sam? Is there ever a time to disobey? Is there a difference between submissiveness and obedience? Can we be submissive and disobedient at the same time? Good questions. I'm going to answer those in just a minute. But there are two aspects of obedience that are absolutely important for us to understand. And these are principles that must be followed in all areas of obedience. Okay? Now follow me here. This is important. First aspect of obedience is one that we notice the most. We must be obedient in our actions and deeds. Titus 3:1 puts it this way. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. So obedience is simply doing what we're told. And that's what people look at most often. So obedience isn't a matter of intention. It's a matter of action and deed. So for example, and you've probably had this happen before. If mom or dad tells little Johnny to make sure that his room is clean by the time they get home from work, they expect that room to be clean. Is that right, mom and dad? All right. So you come home from work, and you go up to Johnny's room, and it hasn't been touched. It's the same mess that it was in the morning when you left for work. And so you call Johnny and you say, Johnny, why did you not clean your room? Now, what do you think would happen if Johnny said something like this? Oh, Mom, Dad, I was going to. I was going to do it. I just forgot. Please don't punish me. I was going to get there. I was going to clean my room. What would you do? Would you let him go or would you punish him? Now, I can tell you from personal experience that when I was a young lad and I tried to say that, it did not work. I was punished anyway. So let me say this. It's kind of harsh, but it's true. Hell will be full of people who intended to be saved, but they didn't. Think about that. Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I'm just not that far along yet. I know I should give my life to Jesus, but I'm just not quite ready yet. Let me encourage you with this today. When it comes to obedience, do what you know to do. Do what you know to do in every aspect of life. Do what you know to do. Now, having said that, and this is very important, if we are obedient only in our actions and deeds, then we're still disobedient. Wait a minute, Sam, what are you talking about? We must also be obedient in spirit. So let's go back to an example of little Johnny again. Mom and Dad tells Johnny, I want you to go outside and rake the leaves. That's a good time of year. That's the reason I'm using this illustration, because there's plenty of leaves out there right now to rake. So they say, Johnny, like you go out and just rake the front yard, clean up those leaves. And Johnny's mad. He doesn't want to do that. Johnny said, Mom, I'm not cleaning up the leaves. And Mom says, yes, you are, Johnny. I want you to go out there, take that rake, and clean up the leaves. So Johnny gets mad. He storms out the door. He takes the rake, he tosses the leaves everywhere, he comes back in, he throws the rake in the garage, he goes up to Mom and Dad and he says, there, I did it, are you satisfied? Was he being obedient? Maybe in his action, but not in his spirit. Attitude is important in all of Christianity. So we need to have an attitude of honor, respect, and loyalty to government and to the rulers or officials of government. Let me go back to Daniel for a moment. When he came out of that lion's den, he didn't go up to the king and say, have you learned anything from this story, you arrogant, idol-worshiping jerk? He didn't say that, did he? You know what he said? Daniel 6:21, long live the king. The very man who had put him in the lion's den, he still had respect for. He still was submitting. We already read Titus 3:1, which speaks of obedience to rulers and authorities. Verse 2 says, to slander no one, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing consideration for all people. So all obedience must be carried out in action or deed and in having the right spirit. So now, it's time to answer the question, but how far does this obedience go? Is there ever a time to disobey? Here's the principle. Governmental obedience is always required until it requires disobedience to God. There's almost no law in America that we can't obey under this standard. There are some, but not very many. And so the boundary is this. Always obey an authority figure in your life, unless by obeying that authority figure, you disobey a higher authority figure. So if your boss or a government authority tells you to do something that you know God's already said don't do, who are you going to follow? God. That's when it becomes a time when you disobey. By being obedient, you're going to disobey a higher authority, which is God. So here's some false boundaries of obedience I've heard people say today. Well, as long as I like it, I'll obey, but if I don't like it, I'm not going to. What if tomorrow the federal government passed a law and said, from now on, starting Tuesday, the national speed limit on interstates will be 40 miles per hour? Would you like that? Because I know I wouldn't like that. But if it becomes the law of the land, what are you going to do? You better follow it. That's what we're talking about here. Here's another false boundary of obedience. As long as others are for it, I'll obey it. But if nobody else is doing it, I'm not going to either. That doesn't mean if everybody's passing you at 85 miles an hour on the road, all of a sudden you can go 85. No, that's a false boundary of obedience. Listen to me here. If you don't like the way things are going in the government, in the church, in the home, at your work, do what you can to change it, but still obey. Paul was submissive throughout his ministry in spite of constant harassment and punishment by government officials. Now, I think we can all agree on what I'm about to say next. There are some things I do not like about our government, just as I'm sure there are things you don't like about our government. We used the example last week. I don't like where some of our tax dollars are going. Do you? That means absolutely nothing as it relates to God's command to be obedient. I can and should work to change laws that I don't agree with, but must always do it with the right spirit, obeying the law, as long as it's not disobedient to God, while working to change it. Most of the bad laws in this country are laws that protect people when they sin, and we need to work to change that. We need to work to change that. Remember, God requires submissiveness always, even if there comes a time when we must disobey for conscience sake. Last point about being submissive is one that we touched on last week. This is so important. I'm going to touch on it again this week, because I think it's the most important thing we can do for our government and her leaders. We must not only obey and respect our authorities, but also pray for them. Pray for them. 1 Timothy 2, I read it last week. I'm reading it again. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Do you suppose that our lives would be more tranquil, more peaceful, and quiet if we would regularly pray for our government leaders? I say amen. Not only that, but as I also mentioned last week, there's a verse found in Proverbs chapter 21 that teaches us that God has the power to change the heart of a king or a government leader. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he pleases. You may not like some of the things our leaders in government say or do, but how often do you pray that God will turn their hearts toward him? That should be something we pray about every single day. Because when we realize that God influences the hearts of rulers, then we can choose to pray for them rather than fret about them. So let's summarize what we've done here this morning. What should our response be to governmental authority? The same it should be to all authority that God has placed under us. Biblical submission. That means submission is a choice that we make because God told us to. It requires a complete obedience to all the laws that have been enacted for us to follow. Our obedience is done through actions, not intentions, and with the right spirit or attitude. The only time we can disobey is when, if by obeying a law, it would cause us to disobey a higher authority, God. But even then, as Daniel did, we would have a submissive spirit. When we pray for our leaders and those in positions of authority, it not only helps us to have the correct attitude, but it will bring peace, tranquility, and the freedom that God has given us today to be able to proclaim the truth of the gospel message. I am so thankful that God has freed us from the penalty of our sins, but I'm also thankful that we live in a free nation that allows us to worship God at all times, and we can come today and bring glory to Christ Jesus. I praise God for that. It's time to begin bringing this message to a close. I want you to remember something that's true. Here's what usually happens at all times as far as government concerns. A people will normally get the kind of government they deserve, which is precisely why we need to be involved in government. Whenever we look at the governments of God's people in the Old Testament, we see that they were good, when the people were obedient to God's instructions and bad when they were disobedient to God's instructions. So there's nothing wrong with the concept of government. The problem is that those who are not Christians or those who do not follow the principles of the Bible have been much more active in getting their people into positions of power and influence than we as Christians have. That's why we need to be involved and do our part. Jesus has called for his people to be salt and light to a dying world covers every aspect of life, including our role in government, how we vote, what we do. God-fearing Americans simply need to quit hiding out in church buildings and start working together to impact the public arena and restore Jesus as king. Government is only as good or as bad as the people we elect to represent us. So it all comes back to Christians taking personal responsibility for applying biblical principles to every area of our lives, including electing candidates who will pass biblical laws and repeal unbiblical ones. And we've had that chance to do that last week. So no matter what your thoughts or your attitude might be toward government, it is important because it was created and established by God. Let me end in this way. God gives us a wonderful promise. One of the best Old Testament verses on prayer found in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Here's what we learn. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If God answered his people's prayers in the days of the Old Testament, and there are many examples when he did, then won't he do the same for us and for our land today? Amen. We are told in God's word that we are to submit to many people in many ways. But the first and most important way to submit in our lives is when we submit, we become obedient to our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's most important.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.